Greetings to you once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all good to see all of your faces this Sunday. I hope you all are doing good. God has been really gracious and merciful in my life. And I thank each and everyone from this church for keeping me in your prayers and all the love and care that you showed towards me. Well, before I go into the Word of God, just want to tell you this. Starting from tomorrow, for a week, we will be having our youth fasting prayer. Our youths had a wonderful vacation. Their vacation time is almost coming to an end in a week or two. Their classes, their colleges are going to start again. But before they go back to their school life, their college life, or whatever they do, we as a church would like them to come together in the presence of God, spend some time in prayer and worship and word. And we believe that it's going to be a wonderful time. So I request every parents to make an initiative to send your children for this fasting prayer. It will be from tomorrow, Monday onwards. It will be in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. So I request every youth to be present over here. And also, it's a fasting prayer. So if you could fast and come and be in the presence of God, it will be a great blessing in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the story that I'm going to tell today, many of the parents who have teenagers, parents with teenagers can relate to it. And I think almost every youth can also relate to the story that I'm going to say. So when I was growing up, when I was in my teens, when I used to go to school, I had this pressure to keep my scores high. If my scores went down, I was so terrified because I used to get scolding from my parents. So there were times when my scores went down, and those times when I come home, I'm for sure, I know that I will be getting some scolding, and all those things will happen. So there were times when my grades went down, and I come home, and there is a dialogue my dad used to say all the time. You know, if I get 2-3 beatings, it's fine, but the moment my dad starts giving all those lecture, it is more painful, you know. Yeah, you all can relate to it. If I get 2-3 beatings, it's okay, it's done, it's finished. But the moment the parents start to give that lecture, then it makes us so uncomfortable. And one of the dialogue my dad says in his lecture is that, you have no idea how much I'm working hard. I'm going to send you back to India. Then only you will realize the blessing you have being in Middle East. So every time I used to get a low score, this is what my dad says, I'm going to send you back to India, then only you will realize the value of education that you're getting here. I'm going to send you back to India, then only you will realize. So every time I keep hearing all this, and there was one particular time I felt so frustrated. I felt so annoyed. I felt like, what is this? I can't keep hearing this. So that was the time I looked back at my dad with that anger and frustration and that all that pain in my heart, and I looked back at dad and said, okay, take the ticket right now itself. I'm going back to India. You know what, my dad, yeah, just like this, for a moment there was a pause, but my dad then continued laughing. I'm not going to say what then he said after that. Okay. Yeah, my dad is online too. So, many a times we as Christians, we have said the same thing to God too, right? We also have rebelled against God. Many a times we have also shouted back at God. When things don't go the way that we desire in our life, when we have prayed over and over again, when we have done our hard work over and over again, when things don't go in the way that we desire, when we sit in our rooms for prayer, we also shout back at God and say, this is what I've been praying for. Why nothing is happening? This is God enough. That's what we say. I want you all to turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. I want every youth to keep your smartphones and everything aside and open your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. And I need volunteers from the youth to read for me the words that I'm going to say. I need you to turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, Jonah chapter 4. And please read for me verse 1, 3, and 4. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1, 3, and 4. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, 3, and 4.
Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Mm-hmm. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry?
Okay, that's enough. We know that Jonah, God gave a plan, a purpose in his life, but he rebelled against God. He reached almost chapter 4 and verse 1. It says that he was so angry. He was so frustrated, exceedingly angry. Verse 3 and 4, he says, Lord, it is enough. Now take my life away because it is better for me to die than to live. And God asks back a question. Is it rightful for you to be angry? This morning, I want to talk to you the pursuit of God in your life. The pursuit of God in your life. The pursuit of God in your life. If you look at the book of Jonah from chapter 1 onwards, we find something very clear is that Jonah wrote this book after having the experience of his life. After experiencing the God that was with him when he rebelled against God. After experiencing the time of shipwreck. After experiencing the time of being in the belly of the fish. After experiencing the time of God, how he brought him out of the fish, and then after all those incidents, then Jonah writes this book. But if Jonah was writing this book on a daily basis as things were going on, like a journal, he would have written it like this. He would have written, today God spoke to me and he told me to go to the city of Nineveh. As you all know, the city of Nineveh is an Assyrian city, and the people who live there is very cruel. They are the most cruel people on the face of the planet Earth, and me going over there and preaching what God has told me to speak about repentance is a very bad move. So I thought within my logical understanding, I made a decision within my mind to not to go to Nineveh. So I'm going to Tarshish. So this is what I think is a good plan. That would have been what Jonah would have written if he was writing on a daily basis. But after getting that experience from God, after understanding why he had to go through all of these things, then Jonah writes in the book like this. He says that I ran away from the presence of God. I ran away from the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Many a times, when God gives his plan in our life, when God says this is the way that you need to go, this is the plan that you need, this is the purpose that you need, I have for you, this is the plan that I have for you, do this, do that, when God says to that, many a times we look it and we evaluate it, we try to understand it based on our logical understanding, based on our intellect, based on our wisdom, and we say this is too risky, this is not so safe, this is not so good. But let me tell you, if you believe that you are a child of God, if you believe that you can call this God as your above father, if you believe that you have been redeemed and you are sons and daughter of this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave you the plan and purpose of your life that you think is risky and not so safe, let me tell you, he is a gracious and loving God who wouldn't send his children into a path that is so dangerous that will lead you to destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God exactly knows what he needs to do and when he needs to do. You might think that this is the plan that God gave me and it looks like I need to be in the fire. It looks like I will be put in the den of lion. But God says, even if the plan in through the plan, you have to go through the fire or be in the den, yet my presence is there with you. Yet my presence is there with you. When you look at God's plan, you might be thinking this looks like I am advancing or I'm marching towards the enemy camp. What this doesn't make any sense. But here God says, even if you feel that you're walking through the enemy camp, the psalmist says, with your presence I can advance against the troop. With your presence in me, I can scale the walls. Hallelujah. This morning, how many youths in the house is willing to give yourself, is willing to surrender yourself, your plans and your purpose in the hands of God and tell that from now on or from this academic year, I'm willing to give myself to the plan of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move ahead really quick. Now, God might give you a plan. God might say, this is how you need to do. This is how you are supposed to move forward. These are the steps that you need to take. But you might think that what if I just go away from the presence of God? If I'm away from the plan of God, if I'm outside the plan of God, if I'm outside the focus of God, if I'm outside the framework of what God has given to me, then he would not know, he would not see. But David says like this, even if you go up in the stars, or if you take your backpack and your bed and go and make your bed in the depths of the ocean, God still sees. You. He not only just sees you, but he also knows the thoughts that you have when you run away from the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move ahead. Now, Jonah, similarly, God gave this plan. God gave him this purpose. God told him, this is what you need to do. Go and preach to the city of Nineveh to repent. But when Jonah looked at it, he found it, this is so risky. Even my life is at danger. Why should I even go there? Let me just deviate. Let me just go away from this plan. And he went and he decided to go to Tarshish. In chapter 1 and verse 4, we read like this. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, for one, you need to watch out for God's Amber Alert on your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You all know about the Amber Alert that you get on your phones, right? You all know about the Amber Alert, but there are Amber Alerts that God sends into your life. There are Amber Alerts that God sends into your life, and you need to watch out for those Amber Alerts. Let me tell you, there is great storm on the outside. There is great wind on the outside. There is a tempest on the outside, but on the inside, Jonah is having a sound sleep. Jonah is having a sound sleep. Let me tell you, young folks over here, your spiritual decline will reflect in your daily life, the actions of your daily life. Did you get that? Did you get that? You might be thinking, oh, my spiritual life, maybe I didn't pray today, or my spiritual life is declining. No, so what? No one is going to know. No one understands. My spiritual life is by me. No one understands it. But let me tell you, the moment your spiritual life is declining, it will reflect on your daily life. It will start to reflect on your daily life. How? When the spiritual life of Jonah was declining, God said to him, get up, rise up, and go to Nineveh. But what did Jonah do? He went down to Tarshish. That's what the word of God says. He went down to Tarshish, and he went down to the lower decks of the boat, and he found himself comfort over there, and he fell asleep. Amen. Hallelujah. There is storm on the outside, but he's sleeping on the inside. There is storm on the outside, he's sleeping on the inside. Many a times we also have this kind of an understanding. Let there be storms, let there be winds, let there be tempest. Whatever might happen in my life, I don't have to fear, I don't have to be worried about, because God is with me. We have these verses, fear not, for I am with you. Or we might take verses like, be still and know that I am God. We take all these verses and find comfort within ourselves, and we think, oh, nothing is going to happen. God is in control. But let me tell you, not all storms are things that God controls. There are storms that come in your life to bring into your attention. Now, here is a storm that was a wake-up call, that was a notification, that was an alert for Jonah to wake up and know that you're going away from the presence of God. Let me tell you, there might be storms that is hitting in your life this morning. There might be tempest that is being in your life for a long time. You might be thinking, why God is not calming the storm, just like how we did in the New Testament. Why is not getting up in my life and then saying to the storm, be still, waves, be still? Because these are storms, these are waves, these are winds to bring your attention, to get your attention and know that you're going away from the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know that these are storms that are going away, that gives you a warning that you're going away from the presence of God. Let me tell you, if you look closely over here, the storm was not because of the boat. The storm was not because of any of the sailors or the captains of the ship. The storm was because of a Jonah that was in the ship. Amen. Hallelujah. The storm was because of a Jonah that was in the ship. This morning, I want you to unpack your life by yourself. I need you to unpack your life. You feel that there is a storm that is in your life. If you feel that there is a tempest that you've been battling your life, I want you to unpack your life. You need to take the things out of your life. And look, if you have concealed within yourself a Jonah that no one else knows, that you have hidden a Jonah within your life, that you have kept a Jonah within your life that brings the storms into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to take those Jonahs outside. It can be an aggression. It can be a rebellious nature. It can be a relationship. It can be a lifestyle. It can be a habit. It can be a addiction that is in your life. But whatever the Jonahs that you've been concealing in your back pocket, you need to take it and throw it out of your life. Then the storm will cease. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move ahead really quick. Now that Jonah is outside, he's thrown off the boat. He's swallowed up by the fish. Now he's swallowed up by the fish. That's when he comes to a realization that he needs to wake up and start praying to the God. Amen. Let me tell you, if you have been going through all of these situations, and if you feel that you've been swallowed up by the problems of your life, if you've been swallowed up by the anxieties, the distress, all the pain and troubles of your life, you need to know one thing. It is not too late to make a U-turn in your life. It's not too late to make a U-turn of your life. It's not too late to make a U-turn of your life. It's not too late to make a U-turn of your life. You need to get that into your heart. It's not too late to make a U-turn into your life. You might be thinking, oh, I've gone away from the presence of God. I've been so far now. How can I make this U-turn back into the plan of God? How can I get back into this relationship with God? How can I get back into this original purpose that God had in my life? Let me tell you, do what Jonah did in his life. He began praying to God. Amen. Hallelujah. In the belly of the fish, when things are not favorable, when things are not very good, he began to pray to God. Amen. Praying is always good. You know, praying is always good. You should always pray. I encourage everyone to pray. But the manner in which you pray matters a lot. The manner in which you pray matters a lot. If you look at the prayer of Jonah in chapter 2, he begins his prayer by grumbling about his situation. He begins complaining. In his prayer, he's complaining, he's grumbling, he's telling God of all the situations that he's going through. And he's not giving that gratitude, but instead he's grumbling. Many a times, even when we are in the midst of God's provision, in the midst of the blessings that God has given us, in the midst of while we are still enjoying the love and grace of God, we don't have that attitude of giving thanks. Instead, we keep grumbling about the things in our life. We start grumbling and complaining about the things our neighbor has, but we don't have. But here, we want to remind ourselves that stop grumbling and complaining about the things that your neighbor have, but start giving thanks to God of what God has blessed in your life that your neighbor doesn't have. The blessings that you enjoy today that your neighbor or your friends don't have. The goodness that God has given in your life, start giving thanks to that your friends or your neighbor or any of your family members don't have. That is when God will be pleased in your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to realize to give thanks to God. You know what? Even when God provided that dry land through the Red Sea, even when God gave the manna, even when God gave water through the rock and the clouds by the day and the fire pillars by the night, yet the people of Israelites, they kept on grumbling. Amen. Hallelujah. They kept on complaining and grumbling. But God says, when you pray, start giving thanks for the things that God has given in your life. Start giving appreciation for the things that God has blessed you with. You know what? At the beginning, he starts to complain and grumble about his situation. But towards the end, from verse 6 onwards, verse 9, he changes the face of his prayer from a complaining to giving thanks. Now Jonah realized, I need to start giving thanks to God. He started telling like this. this. Oh, thank you, God, for lifting me from the pit. Just like how David say, thank you, God, for lifting me from the miry clay. He starts to give thanks. And as he give words of thanks, as he start giving thanks and give God all the glory, the next verse, it reads like this. And the fish vomited Jonah on the land. And the fish vomited Jonah on the land. Let me tell you like this. When you start giving God the glory, when you start praising God, when you start giving thanks that is due unto him, when you start praising God for what he has given you with, it is a one-way ticket out of your trouble. It's a one-way pass out of your uncomfortable situation. It's a one-way pass to get out of the situation that has been keeping you in bondage. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move ahead really quick. Now, Jonah, he's out of the fish. He's out of the trouble. And now he has experienced the hand of God. He has experienced how God was with him, even when he rebelled and went away from the presence of God, even when he complained in the belly of the fish. Now he, as he has experienced all of this, he has become so bold. Now he goes into the city of Nineveh to preach. Now let me tell you, this is the third thing and the final thing that I want to tell you. Many a times we forget the fact that we are in our second chances. Now, Jonah, he is in a second chance. He went away from the presence of God. God gave him a second chance now to follow the plan and purpose that God has given him. Jonah is in his second chance. But look what we read over there. Now, Jonah, he comes to the city. He preached to the city. He tells them, repent. But, and those people in the city, they repent before God, and God forgives them. But that was not what Jonah expected. Jonah expected a great punishment to come into the land of Nineveh. That was not what Jonah expected. He expected that God would punish them. But on the other hand, Jonah forgot the fact that he was also once went away from the presence of God, was supposed to be punished, but now he is also enjoying a second chance because of the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Many a times we are also quick in judging others. We are also quick in looking at others and saying, oh, look at the sin that that person does. Look at the terrible life that that person leads. Look at how that person walks. Look at all those other things. And we are very quick in judging others. But at the same time, we need to be aware of ourselves that we are walking a daily life because of a second chance that God has given in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not walking our daily life because of our righteous deed. We are not walking a blessed life because of the righteousness that we have. But we are walking this life because it's the second chance that God gave us out of his grace and mercy that he had on our life. Can we all just give the Lord a mighty shout of praise for the second chances that we are enjoying in his presence? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jonah, he's full of anger. He's full of anger. And then as you read, that's the verse 3 that we read. Now, Jonah was full of anger. He said, I'm so angry that I want to die. It's better for me to die. And God asked back a question. Is it rightful for you to be angry? Jonah doesn't reply back. And then the following verse, it says that Jonah went east of the city and he sat down there. He made a shelter for himself and he waited for the punishment of God to come on the land. He waited over there and God provided a tree, a shelter, a shade, and that same God sent a worm and destroyed the shade. Seeing this, Jonah is now full of angry. The words say that he was full of angry, that his anger was so much that he just wanted to die. He looks at God and says, God, the third time now he says, I just want to die. And God says, why are you getting so angry? Is it rightful for you to be angry? Let me tell you this. Many a times God takes the comforts of our life. God takes the situation so uncomfortable from a comfort to an uncomfortable situation. God sometimes takes us away from our comfort zones, put in uncomfortable situations, not for us to just die or to be destroyed by those uncomfortable situations, but God wants to show us. God wants us to look through through God's eye and realize that we are living each day of our life because of the second chances that he has given us. God was teaching Jonah that you are enjoying today the life, the breath that goes in your mouth and comes through your nose and comes out is all because of a second chance that I gave it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? Elijah, I'm going to close with this. Elijah, he also says in 1 Kings like this, Lord, I'm all alone. I just want to die. And God looks at Elijah and says, there are other 7,000 prophets who has not bowed their head before the Baal and his prophets and his all those images. There are other 7,000 prophets. What God was telling to Elijah is that there were other 7,000 people, but I chose you. I chose you. Let me look at the young folks over here. There are good-looking guys out there. There are good-looking girls out there. There are smart people out there. Intellectually brilliant people out there. But out of all that, God chose you because he wanted to teach you that you're living a life because of a second chance that God has given you. You're living this life because of the grace and mercy that God had in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. James says like this when he writes, he says like this, all the trouble, all the pain, all the trial that I go through my life, it is all good because I count it all as joy. I count it all as joy because it is building a faith in my life. Paul, when he writes in Romans, he's like that, says like this, there is suffering in my life, but it produces perseverance. And this perseverance is producing a character in my life. And this character is building a hope in my life, a hope in Christ Jesus, who has given me a second chance to live and taste his love and proclaim his glory to the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all close our eyes this morning. I want every young folks in this house to close your eyes this morning. Hallelujah. You might be rebellious before God. You might have prayed for things to happen in your life, but it might have not yet happened in your life. And you might have become a rebel before God. But this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to remind you that you even though you are rebellious, even though you are running away from the plan of God, even though you're running away from the presence of God, there is a loving God that is pursuing you. There is a loving God that is running behind you because he needs you. He wants to give you a second chance. He don't want you to be destroyed in the waves. He doesn't want you to be destroyed in the storm. He wants you to get the attention of the alerts that he's sending in your life. He wants you to know it is not too late to take a U-turn and come back into the plan of God and enjoy the second chance that is waiting for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed day that you have given to us. Though many a times when storms come, we do not look at the alerts that you're sending in our life. If there is a time that we have gone away from your presence, if there is a time that we have gone away from your call and your purpose, Lord, this morning we align ourselves with your calling, your Father, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless us and be with us. Guide us and comfort us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.